Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Good day and welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, your weekly pod to help you save and make more money. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. If 2024 is going to be the year you want to start investing in shares, or you already have a trading account but want to know what else is out there, you are in luck. Today's episode is exactly about that. Our guest is one of my favorite people. She knows everything about the share market, and she has just contributed to Money Magazine's recent issue on the top 50 shares. And if you stick with us to the very end of this episode, you'll find out her top three investing trends, including a couple of surprising little facts about how to make money in the share market. She is currently the market strategist at Moomoo, our 2024 Money Magazine Best of the Best online broking rising star winner. None other than Jessica Amir. Welcome to the show, Jess. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Michelle. What an introduction.
What can I say? I am supremely enthusiastic. I obviously know your work, and I've looked at the top 50 shares, and you have not failed me, Jess. So you've got my 100% confidence on this. But I know that a lot of people can be intimidated by this idea of making money through shares. So can you just give us a quick insight? You have been in the industry for more than 17 years now. Just the three myths that you'd like to dispel about getting started and investing in shares.
It's a great question. It's a million-dollar question. So if I think about my friendship group and my who's in my family, some of them still don't invest. And I guess there's three major reasons for that. Firstly, I'd say that it's all too hard. So a lot of them say, oh, I don't know how to invest, or I don't have enough money, or I don't know how to do it. So I'd say that that's probably a huge misconception. So now you can invest with as little as a dollar and opening a trading account with zero money. So that is something that is preventing a lot of Aussies from getting started. And the second thing that's preventing them from getting started, I guess, they don't know what to buy, or they don't know what to invest in. And then the third thing is there's too much choice. So we just really need to make it simple. And get started. That's the hardest thing. The hardest thing with anything in life, and we're breaking out of some bad habits, so I guess some limiting factors for 2023 and looking at 2024, the best thing that we can do is to take action. So if we think about why you would invest. So last year we saw the S&P 500, home to some of the biggest companies in the world that we know and use, Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, etc. I think about the S&P 500, those biggest 500 stocks, they rose 23%. So if you invested, let's say $10,000,
yes,
you would have walked away with $2,500 profit.
Let's just back up a bit. So if I invested, let's say $10,000 in January 2023, I would have finished the year with 23% on top of that.
That's it. That
would help with my mortgage going up 13 times, Jess.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And increasingly, when I'm talking to my friends and family and a lot of other people in media, I'm encouraging them to use investing as a mechanism to get ahead so that they can either go on a holiday sooner, or they can use that chunk of cash that they've made from making some cracking returns, and then they can, have a property deposit.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can just say as well, expanding that out, so looking back over the past 5 years, the S&P 500, those 500 biggest stocks in the US, they rose 77%. So again, if you invested $10K, you would have made $7,700. So that's the why to invest. You're getting ahead quicker. You're achieving your financial goals. Like it's a no-brainer.
That's making me cry, because that's the kind of money I did not make, because you did not tell me that 5 years ago. But let's start with the basics. So I think what's great about the current situation is that a lot of people saved a lot of money over the pandemic, right? So they have maybe $1,000 or $5,000 that they can start with. Mm. So very basic question, what do they do? Do they just open an account? How easy is it? Is it fairly straightforward?
Yeah. So I think when Michelle and I, when we probably started in this industry, it was so hard. You had to, I mean, the excuses were a list long for why you couldn't invest because it was so hard.
It was something like $20,000 was the entry ticket.
Totally.
To do something meaningful at
and
the time.
You had to complete a hard copy physical paper form and then send it in. Like it was just too hard. Now buying a share is basically like buying groceries. So you log onto your Woolworths account and you click on what you want to buy. You press buy and you get it sent to your home address. Buying a share, it's pretty much the same.
Yes.
You pick a stock or you can invest in the entire market, like the S&P 500 or the ASX 200. You just search it in the app that you're using, in the trading app, and click buy. And it's as simple as that.
Yes.
And then if you've picked a goodie, if you've picked a dividend payer, then you'll get the dividend paid into that bank account that you specify every quarter. So it's really, really easy, I guess, than it ever has been.
Now let's talk about the kind of people that do invest or have opened a trading account. Because again, there's this misconception that maybe you're a professional, you're a doctor, you're an architect, you're an engineer. Can you break down clients of Mumu, for example, male, female? Just paint a picture for us.
So the average age of an investor who opens an account at Mumu is actually 37. There's more males than there is females, but increasingly we're seeing a lot more females. And of those females who are using our app, they're actually chasing dividend stocks or dividend ETFs. So we've seen this this real shift, and that's really exciting to see women get more involved. 60% of our investors are making profits every year. So it's really pleasing to see. And a lot of our clients are also investing in ETFs as well. So it just shows you that you can, you know, get a diversified exposure to a market or a theme in one trade. And people really want that ease. So that's why a lot of our clients are increasingly using ETFs.
But for starters, so for example, we've talked about ETFs in the past. But for those who don't know about ETFs, what are the educational resources available out there? Or are they also provided by the trading platform?
Yeah, so on our trading platform, we've got a Learn Center. And this is really popular for those newbie investors. And so we're finding that they're loving our guides. So how to get started investing, what is an ETF, what are some ideas of what you should invest in. So this library or literature source is free. And so we're finding that a lot of people are, you know, sinking their teeth into that. And it just gives them peace of mind. Okay, well, now I understand this, I can actually do it with a bit more confidence. So I think it's really important to provide education and literature, and it doesn't have to be sold to you. So there are a lot of people out there in Australia and the US who are actually selling courses and profiteering, and it doesn't need to be that way because education should be free. So you can use it at a reliable trading platform such as Mumu. Mm-hmm. And you can also, I guess, combine that with education that's out there on the ASX's website as well. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to pay for a course, or you can just use the how-to guides, really.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. You don't have to pay those thousands of dollars for a lot of this information, especially if you're a beginner. You've mentioned the ASX. There's also other sources of information online, just making sure that they are credible sources, of course. Now, let's get right into the very meaty part of this episode, because I know a lot of people want to say, yes, I'm ready to do this. What are the top investing trends this year?
So I'll firstly start out by saying, if you've never invested before, this year is probably going to be a great year. And so the reason for that is that we do have a couple of E's. So we've got exuberance, So we've got the share market now, the US share market at an all-time high. We've got central banks easing, so they're cutting interest rates, and we haven't seen this for a long time. Lower interest rates, interest rate cuts support the share market. So it's a really good time to think about investing. And the third thing that we're seeing is earnings. So last year, 2023, earnings actually declined. What do I mean by that? Company earnings actually went backwards. But this year, we're probably going to see that reverse. So we've got strong earnings, and earnings drives share price growth, and that supports the market. You've got interest rate cuts, and you've also got a lot of optimism and exuberance in the market. So if I can just pick three trends and call out a couple stocks, I'd say the first one would be we really need to consider investing in AI and chips. So this is going to be the future. So if we think about a company that is behind this, we know NVIDIA might not come to mind, but they are the company that single-handedly made chips that power AI and built ChatGPT. So NVIDIA is a company to watch. Their shares ripped up 280% last year. They're already up over 20% this year. So NVIDIA is a company to watch. They have 14% of their revenue coming from Microsoft. A lot of their business comes from other big tech companies that we know and use, like Facebook, Meta, and Oracle. And the second theme, Michelle, is electric vehicles. So electric vehicles, we don't really see that many in Australia, but by golly, there's a lot more EVs on the street than we saw 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
And there's definitely more favorable legislation. I think a lot of people are gearing up to buy an EV. Before, it was like, you know, only certain people would buy an EV or hybrid. So I can see that happening. And it's almost like, just talking about NVIDIA very briefly, remember the time when you have a laptop and it must be Intel, an Intel chip? Mm. And we were looking down on this, what is this company called, NVIDIA?
Mm.
So, but now it's like one of the hottest stocks. In the same way as EV used to be like a fringe market, I just feel like that sounds spot on in terms of the trends to invest in.
Yeah.
But what are there any specific stocks or companies that are really doing well here?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So in terms of the EV space and the EV pivot, we know there's a lot more growth ahead. So in Australia, we've only got 10% penetration. And if we think about where the most sold EVs are in the world, we've got a lot of EVs being sold in China. And I was just in the US and I didn't see that many EVs in the US, surprisingly. But the US is touted to be a hot area for EV growth. And so if we add up those two regions, there's estimates for those two countries to have EV penetration of 60%. So 60% of the new cars on the road in 2030 are apparently going to be EVs. So I guess it'll be remiss or maybe silly if we as investors ignore that trend. So companies that I'm watching are Tesla. So Tesla shares are down a lot, and it's because they've slashed the price of their EVs. But the new kid on the block, really on the block in China, is BYD. So BYD is increasingly gaining market share, and they've just overtaken Tesla, and they're now selling more EVs than Tesla.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm taking note of that, BYD.
Yeah. So that is definitely one to watch. So AI chips, keep an eye on NVIDIA. Secondly, EVs, keep an eye on those two now in a hot race, Tesla and BYD. And thirdly, we can't ignore dividends. So we know last year, the ASX investor study said that 40% of us, 40% of Aussies want dividends. So where do you get that? Well, we know mining companies on the ASX have been the best dividend payers for a long time now. And that's probably going to continue, but you can invest in an ETF. So I probably think we're going to see a lot more people getting behind dividend ETFs on the ASX. And there's a couple that come to mind, the Dividend IHD. So that's one to watch. And there's another one, RDV. So both of those two ETFs pay dividends into your bank account every quarter, or you can get them reinvested.
Wow. Well, that's plenty. That's more than plenty to get started on. And you talk about dividends, which is surprising. I know that a lot of people do want income, do want the security of not getting into, say, tech stocks, for example, if they don't understand AI or if they don't feel like, oh, I want to invest in EV. But can you give us an example? Like, you talked about miners being high dividend stocks. How does that work where there's this drive towards, you know, the green sector being more environmentally friendly? And there's a lot of discussion right now on what does that mean for mining stocks?
When I ask my friends and family, do you know who BHP is? A lot of them would say no. But if we think about the investing world that kind of throws their money behind these names, the sophisticated investors and the fund managers, a lot of these savvy investors and indeed super funds, think about Australian Super, Rest Super, you name it, a lot of those funds and sophisticated investors and investment managers have got huge positions in BHP. And there's a couple reasons for that. Firstly, they make the most revenue and profits from any company on the ASX. And so that means that they're able to return that to shareholders in the way of dividends. And that's quite comforting, especially for those big investors like those super funds that want that security coming in the door. And so what is underpinning their strength? It's that they are responsible, I guess, for shipping out our biggest export, and that's iron ore. Iron ore, it sounds boring, bit of a snooze fest, I might be putting some people to sleep, but we need iron ore to build steel. So iron ore is the key ingredient in steel. So what are we talking about there? So to build scaffolds, buildings, cars, infrastructure. So we know this is key to making the world go round. When we see stimulus in China, Australia, the iron ore price goes up, demand goes up, and that is supporting BHP. And we're seeing a lot of these big miners as well, to answer your question, Michelle, a lot of these big miners are going green, which is really good. So they're digging up a lot of resources out of Australia and they're shipping it out to China as our biggest customer. But they're also increasingly now becoming carbon neutral and they're really focusing on this. So it's really pleasing to see that they're focusing and putting hundreds of billions of dollars towards being carbon neutral, hopefully by 2050.
Well, there's plenty of food for thought there, Jess. But thank you for joining us. I mean, if you want to know more about Jess's view on 2024 and the top 50 stocks, do check out our February issue that's out right now. Once again, Jess, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
Now, before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. Now, if you've been listening to me since the beginning of 2023 and you still haven't left a review, come on, help a sister out. You can also send any questions, comments, or even topics you'd love for us to cover through our dedicated email, moneymag.com.au. And finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all our financial news and stories. That's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.